The Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 3rd, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. So far, more than 375,000 ballots have been accepted in Minnesota's early voting window ahead of next Tuesday's election.
Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon says absentee ballots must arrive no later than Election Day. He says usually a mail delivery period of at least 1 week will ensure that deadline is met, but with that time frame shrinking, he suggests this strategy.
Just in an abundance of caution, our advice is that at this point, probably best to just hand deliver it to your local elections office. You can either go inside wherever that place is at a county or city. A number of them have drop boxes somewhere on the premises.
A list of drop boxes around the state can be found on the Secretary of State's website. I'm Mike Moen.
In other states, there have been reports of armed individuals taking it upon themselves to monitor drop box sites. But Secretary Simon notes Minnesota has laws about polling place access and conduct designed to thwart such activity. Now to Arkansas, where early voting is underway, but thousands of people there won't be able to vote in the midterms due to a past felony conviction. More on that now from Danielle Smith.
Research by the Sentencing Project says tens of thousands of Arkansans are among the 4.6 million Americans with felony convictions who are denied voting rights. Nicole D. Porter with the Sentencing Project says that's one in every 50 adults. And in Arkansas, she says over 8% of those who can't vote are African Americans who are on parole or probation.
The total number of people disenfranchised in Arkansas just number over 81,000, so the total number is 81,658 individuals with felony convictions will be disenfranchised during the midterm election this year.
Under Arkansas law, you lose your voting rights when you are convicted of a felony. But voting rights can be restored once a person completes their sentence, including any prison term, probation, and parole, and pay off any related fines, fees, and restitution amounts.
And NBC News reports President Biden Wednesday said the midterms are a defining moment for democracy as threats of political violence and voter intimidation loom over the upcoming elections. NBC reports in closing remarks days before the midterms, Biden again called election deniers an existential threat to democracy, tying the January 6th insurrection to last week's attack on Paul Pelosi. Prosecutors have said the alleged attacker was looking for House Speaker Pelosi when he attacked her husband with a hammer.
The president also made the case to voters that the election, which is less than a week away, will be crucial to preserving the nation's democratic values in the long term.
This is PNS. And with the election approaching, the Biden administration has announced millions in grants Wednesday to diversify the meat processing industry, an effort to improve competition, help livestock producers, and bring down consumer prices.
It follows a push for more antitrust efforts made by a group of state attorneys general, including California AG Rob Bonta, who wrote the USDA last December. Bonnie Haugen is a Minnesota dairy farmer and member of the Land Stewardship Project. She says state AGs can make a big dent in the problem.
They can look at companies that have too much power or are charging people wrong. And it's important to have a state attorney that's willing to not just look at stuff, but actually follow through and do something rather than turn and look the other way.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture says as of last year, this country had more than 2 million farms. That is down from 2.2 million in 2007. The number of Louisiana families with kids reporting they sometimes or often did not get enough to eat in the previous week has increased by 48% in the past year, but advocates for those families say there is a proven solution to the crisis.
The child tax credit helped more than 880,000 families in the Bayou State as they struggled through the pandemic. Many were able to catch up on rent. Others purchased new clothing or school supplies. Pascal Wynn of Youngsville is a mother of seven school-age children. She says with her husband unemployed at the time, they use the monthly payments to help feed the family.
Also help with some of our utilities and as well as putting our son in like a high-quality child care.
Census data shows when families were receiving the monthly payments of a few hundred dollars a month, nearly 4 million children were lifted out of poverty. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Finally, Eric Tadoff lets us know a proposed mining operation in central Idaho is raising concerns about possible damage to nearby fish and wildlife habitat.
The U.S. Forest Service has released a supplemental draft environmental impact statement for the Stibnite Gold Project, an open-pit mine in the headwaters of the East Fork of the South Fork Salmon River near McCall. John Robinson with the Idaho Conservation League says the area was mined for decades and was starting to bounce back from those environmental effects. But his and other conservation groups are concerned this new project will be a step backward.
Even though the mining company is pitching this as a restoration project, at its heart it remains an open-pit cyanide vat leach mine.
Perpetua Resources, the company behind the project, said in a statement that it's providing hundreds of family wage jobs for Idahoans.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service on a great radio station, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.